response form in your bulletin, a little, was it green or orange? Orange. Orange response form about greeters. I'm going to be talking about that in a little bit today. So be ready with that form. Resurrection Sunday, 9:30 a.m. It's our regular time. And we're going to have refreshments. We won't have ABF. We won't have Sunday school. We'll have refreshments downstairs after the worship service. Regular time, 9:30. What time is Resurrection Sunday? 9:30. And we'll have some coffee with, you know, some of the flavorings we can put in them. We're going to have a photo booth. People can take pictures of their family. You know, sometimes whole families will come, and it's a great time to have a photo. And okay, that'll be in room 3, all right? And greeters, you have really important roles to play. Don't let that scare you. I'm not, they're easy roles to play, but they're important roles too. We'll be talking about that. And building and grounds cleanup, We've got some windows to wash, some flower beds to clean up, and some of those things that we want to get ready for our guests for Resurrection Sunday. And if you want to come just do some cleaning, just come do some cleaning. I intended to have a list here, and I do, but it's not with me right at the moment. But think windows inside and out. Think windowsills. Think cleaning the flower beds, getting some weeds, and, you know, turning the dirt over, getting it ready for flowers. I planted flowers one time about this time of year and lost them all. Yeah, just a little too early to plant flowers yet. So, but let's do some cleanup. So if you got some time, you got an hour, you know, come by, wash all the light switches and doors, things we handle with our hands, and just, you know, simple stuff like that, okay? And if you have any questions, give me a call. I'll be glad to put you to work. So Resurrection Sunday is coming. It's one of the greatest seasons of the year to celebrate new life that we have in Christ. And Sergio's not here yet. He's on his way home from Pendleton. He'll be here pretty soon. And when he does, we're going to share with him the Bible and a baptism certificate that he was baptized a couple of Sundays ago. And he's thrilled to be walking with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, it's pretty cool. So when he gets here, then we'll present that to him. Let's move on to the sermon. Preparing my heart for wow. Remember, this sermon series is about wow. It's about wow. Last Sunday, we talked about preparing our church for wow. And part of that is the cleanup things that we're talking about and preparing our buildings and our grounds for wow. And this Sunday, we're talking about preparing my heart, your heart, for wow. Okay, everybody say wow. Wow. Yeah. This is wow. Jesus is wow. You know, he really is. And I think sometimes we kind of get into the daily routine of Jesus, and that's not bad. But sometimes we kind of just lose the power of wow. Wow, God is awesome. So today we're gonna talk about preparing our hearts for wow. This sermon series on the wow experience of Resurrection Sunday, not only for ACC, but for our entire community. Think Athena being here. Okay? Think your neighbor. You see their face? Think a family member. You see that person's face? See a smile on them. See them sitting next to you. See yourself inviting them, preparing them, even now, this week. It's not too early to start preparing people to think about coming to Resurrection Sunday and just having a great time. We're really preparing ourselves for our guests. And you know, when guests come and they go, wow, you've really been thinking about us. You're really ready for us. You know what that says to them? You're important. We guests are important to you. And that's what we're preparing for. We want them to experience wow, just as we do in Christ. Last Sunday, we recognized the importance of being ready for our guests who will be coming. Be ready for them before they arrive, because that tells them that they are important to us. And people want to know that they're important to someone. That's getting lost in our country. Am I important to anybody? You know, I think a lot of times anymore, maybe younger generations more than older generations, but we get on Facebook. Am I important to anybody today? Anybody like me today? Did they like my thought? Am I important to anybody today? What about tomorrow? And so let's be thanking, praying for friends and neighbors, family members. Before my doctor retired, his nurse was someone I was witnessing to and visiting with and talking about heaven. And she goes, I didn't even know that heaven was real. Yeah, it's real. And you can be there. No, I can't be there. Why not? Well, I don't know anything about it. Well, next time I come to the doctor, we're going to talk about how you can be in heaven. It's that simple. It's fun. And it doesn't take a lot of knowledge to share with someone. You know, when you share with someone who doesn't know anything about Scripture, you are the master. You're the scholar to that person who doesn't have a clue about what the Bible is. You know, it's sad in our country that a lot of people don't even know what that is. This book is all about. And so be ready to share the hope we have in Christ. People want to know they're important to someone. So one way we're going to communicate that they're important to us is by having outdoor and indoor greeters. You've heard of indoor-outdoor carpet? Well, this is indoor-outdoor greeters. More important than carpet, though. Outdoor greeters to greet people at their cars, walk them to the building, elevator greeter to assist them into the building, indoor greeters to give them a warm smile, a bulletin, answer questions, help them find a seat. And if you're a people person, how many of you here would say you're a people person? You really enjoy people. Yeah. You really enjoy people. I would encourage you to take that orange piece of paper out and put your name and your phone number on it. Give it to me right here at the end of the service. And then stay for potluck, because right after potluck, we're going to have a short training meeting. And also going to do that on next Sunday as well. So if you can't come this Sunday, come next Sunday. Right after ABF, we'll have a training meeting, getting ready for our guests. This is great. We ordered a wagon that's specially made for children. We don't have it here yet. I wish I had a picture of it. It's a blue wagon. It has a handle, and you pull it around. And it has a little side door. The kids can open the door and get in the wagon, and we pull them to the church and pull them back to the car after service is over. You know, just helping people have fun. And kids love a wagon. I mean, I love a wagon. Yeah. If you had a chance to be on an old-time wagon with some bales of hay, would you get on it? Oh, yeah. It's just fun, isn't it? Well, it's with kids, too. And when parents see that we love the kids and have let them have fun, then it's good for them, too. They enjoy that. So, well, what is wow? What is the wow of Resurrection Sunday? Death cannot hold Jesus prisoner anymore. Wow. Death cannot hold Jesus anymore. Now let's think about this for a minute. Death cannot hold Jesus anymore. He defeated Satan's plan. What was Satan's plan? To create fear that says death will forever separate me from God. Now, when the scriptures talk about death, they don't mean, especially in relationship to God, the scriptures don't mean physical death. They mean separation from God. You know, when the created is separated from the Creator, it feels like, where am I? Who am I? What am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? I'm totally lost because there's this disconnect. And that's what Scripture says is death. And that was Satan's plan, to have you so lost. When I was about 5 years old, so this is Albany, Oregon. Mom and I and my two other brothers, went to the Salem State Fair, I guess it was, or a carnival, something. We were there, and I'm walking along holding Mom's hand. We're going different places in the booths, and I look up, and the woman who I'm hanging hands on to is not my mom. Wow, yeah. And I'm going, Mom, Mom. I was separated from my mom, and it was so scary. It felt like death. When you're separated from the very one who loves you more than anything, it feels like death. And Jesus defeated the problem. Death will forever separate me from God, but Jesus defeated Satan's plan when he rose from the grave. Romans 6:9, since Christ raised from the dead, death is no longer master over him. No wonder Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:55, I believe it is, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? It's kind of like Paul going, nah, 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 to Satan. You know, your plan has been foiled. And I love it that Resurrection Sunday this year is on April Fool's Day. Yeah, Satan, you thought you had fooled Jesus. No, the joke's on you. This is your great message of hope to anyone who can have a restored relationship with your Father God. And that death is no longer a threat. It's no longer a threat. Do you have someone who needs this kind of hope? Got somebody in mind? Maybe it's yourself today. This is the wow that people want to know about. Is there anything in the world that is a wow anymore? I'm kind of sad about technology, how technology can, you know, laser lights and flashes and all kinds. Last time I went to a concert, there were bright lights going all over the audience and smoke and fireworks and all kinds of stuff, you know, and it seems like it's such a wow experience that the rest of life is a bummer. Let's flip that around. In Jesus, all of life is a great experience, and every now and again, we have some things that are really cool. So, let's share with people. I've got a great church. You know, if you love your church, it will show through you. If you are excited about where your church is headed, you'll be going, I want you to come sit with me at church, because it's really cool, you know. And you'll love our pastor. And yeah, pride goes before the fall. That's right. And you'll love the people. You know, the comment I get most often when I go visit people for the first time they've visited here is, it felt like I was home. I walked into this building, and well, what made it feel like home? The pew? No, not the pew. The beautiful building? No, not the beautiful building. You. You're the reason why people say, this feels like home, because you're very relational, because you're warm, you're caring. But now let's take that, what people experience here, and take it to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, shall we? And let people experience this there as well, in that kind of warmth and caring. People want to know, does someone care about me? So Resurrection Sunday is one way to make ACC's vision visible. Vision describes why our church exists. Vision, our vision here at ACC is to connect people to Jesus and to each other, making connections. Always think connections, okay? If you connected with somebody somewhere in the week and you were a blessing to them in some way, maybe just a smile, or maybe can I pray for you? One of the guys here shared with me the other day that was at the post office and started visiting with a guy and asked if we could pray, and he said, yeah, please pray for me. Told him about the church. Yeah, this is great stuff. Post office. That's wonderful. So that's our vision. It tells us why we exist. We're here to connect people to Jesus and each other. Mission describes what methods we use to complete our vision. Mission says we connect people to Jesus through meaningful relationships. That's you and me. Meaningful relationships nurtured in great environments like worship services, ABF and Sunday school classes, small groups, youth groups, women's and men's groups, sharing meals together, serving the community together like we did yesterday. 15 people showed up to clean the city park in the rain, and we all got soaked and it was cold, but we had a great time being community, connecting. It was good. And my body feels it. I'm not used to that kind of work. Our Vision 18 teams met for the first time last Sunday and developed some fresh ideas that will help ACC help complete her vision and connecting people to Jesus and each other. Look in your bulletin. You have an update of your Vision 18 update, and it's on a half sheet. Look that over. Look what the exciting things that are happening because you guys are getting together, working on a team, and making things happen. So that's pretty cool stuff. It's entirely possible that for many of our guests who will be with us on the coming weeks, the world has crushed the notion that God even notices them. Hear that, okay? All right, I directed you to your Vision 18. Stop reading now. I want you to hear this. Many people who come on whatever week they come, very possible that the world has crushed any notion that God even sees them, or if, in their minds, God exists at all. God's no longer welcome in our country. Does that bother you? Boy, it bothers me. And we, the church, I think, have been too quiet too long. Starting in 1963, actually, when prayer was taken out of school. 10 years later, abortion becoming legal. And so on and so on. It's a slippery slope. But Jesus is not defeated. And that's a wow. I don't care how dark the world gets, Jesus is not defeated. Death is no longer master over him. And Christian, that means death is no longer master over you. You don't need to fear being separated from your God. And when physical death comes to us, I'm putting on my gravestone what Terry Calvert put on his, which says what? Graduated to heaven. Yeah, this is awesome. God is no longer welcome in our culture, our schools, our government agencies, our courtrooms, our stadiums. No longer welcome in our workplaces, school sports games, award ceremonies, graduations, city meetings, July 4th celebrations, and so on. No wonder people who come to a gathering like this, no wonder they wonder if God even exists. Or if he does he care about me? Does God care about me? Is your heart open to a wow in Christ? Are you ready for you to be wowed by Jesus? Because wowed people wow people. It's hard to invite people to a wow in Christ if your wow has lost its zing. Not saying that it has, not that it's that way for you, but sometimes we lose touch just with the simple power of knowing Jesus Christ and what's ahead. In preparing our hearts for wow, let me share with you an exciting story that comes from 5 short verses in the book of Ephesians. Wow number one is being in Christ. The wow of being in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Okay, let me get there. You might turn in your Bibles to chapter Ephesians. The First chapter, Galatians, Ephesians. Let's see, I used to know where it was. There it is. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Circle the word every. What does that leave out? Nothing. Every spiritual blessing. Have you had, think about this. How many spiritual blessings have you had that you haven't recognized yet? Can't answer that, can you? I told you the story one time. I was driving through Le Grand, wintertime, singing a song on the radio, and drove through a red light. Didn't even see it. Cars are swerving, sliding all over the place. Cop pulls me over. Didn't you see them? No, I was too busy singing Merry Christmas from Payless. Merry Christmas to you. I mean, it'd be better. I feel better if I was singing a real song. I was just singing a commercial song. Missed the whole red light. He was angry with me. Didn't you? No, I didn't. God's blessing me and them with safety because this idiot drove through a red light. Oh, I didn't even know it. What blessings has God given you through Christ? Well, let's list a few of them. In your bulletin, I've listed a number of them. I just went through chapter 1 and a few verses in chapter 2, and I wrote down these blessings. They're in your bulletin. Here's a few of them. God chose you, chose that anyone who accepted Christ would be holy and blameless in his sight. Have you been covered by the blood of Jesus? Have you accepted, humbled yourself to him? Have you accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior? You've been immersed into him through baptism? Are you walking in, you are covered by the blood. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know, God sees you, according to Scripture, holy and blameless. Do you see yourself that way? Too often we say, oh, no. No. Don't use those words for me. Oh, there's a lot there. There's a whole sermon in that by itself. You are adopted as God's own child. That means he's your father. And he loved adopting you. He loved it. And let's put it in the present. He continues to love having you as his adopted child. He's given you more than enough grace, and it pleased him to give you more than enough grace. The NIV says it this way: God lavished his grace on you. He gave you more than enough. Why does God give us more than enough grace? Because you are a vessel that pours out grace to others. Okay? He always gives you more than enough because he wants you to share the extra with others. And God has an endless supply of extra. The Holy Spirit is your guarantee that your salvation and your eternal inheritance, that's heaven, is securely being held for you for when the day of Christ returns. Whew. That's wow. You've been seated with Christ, a place of honor and authority. Do you know you have authority in Christ to speak Satan down? Shut up. I'm not listening to your trash. Okay? As long as you are having conversation with Satan, he has your attention, God does not. Have you ever tried to convince evil you're good? It'll never happen. As long as you argue with him, no, I know I've got my faults, and stop it. God says you are holy and blameless in his sight. Live that way. Yes, we're going to continue to sin from time to time. Yes, that's true. We are tempted by sin all the time. But in Christ, the power of sin to control you is broken. That's a wow. That's awesome. Oh, there's more of those blessings listed in your bulletin. And these are just the few that I've given you. You could think that these would be enough, but your Father isn't one to give just enough. He lavishes more and more blessings upon you. So that's our first wow. Say it with me. Right up here. Every spiritual blessing. Say it again. Every spiritual blessing. That's what God has given you. That's your first wow. We got four more wows coming. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20 says this. This is Paul. He's praying over his Christian brothers and sisters in Ephesus. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or opened so that you can see and understand, in order that you may know. The word in the Greek there is gnosko. It's not just an academic knowing. It's a relational knowing. It's an experiential knowing. I know for sure. I have evidence that my God loves me. That your eyes may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, that you may know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. What kind of power? Incomparably great power. For those who believe. Do you believe today in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe that his word is true for you? That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. That power, powerful phrase, that power which God exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead also lives in you. There's no greater power than power that can turn death into life. In this world, there is no greater power than that. And you have that power living in you. His name is Holy Spirit. That's who raised Jesus from the dead. I would love to make a play out of that scene. Holy Spirit goes into the tomb. There's Jesus. Arise, Jesus, raising you up. Well, the stone to the tomb is still rolled in front of the door. But that doesn't stop Jesus or the Holy Spirit. They go out. You know why the stone is rolled away? Not for Jesus to get out, so that you and I can go in and look. See the evidence. It's empty. Wow. Yeah. That's good stuff. You have the same power living in you that raised Christ from the dead. You know what that means for us? Are you ready for this? It's really good. You're going to hate it. You have no excuse to not obey Christ. You and I have no excuse. Why? Because we have the power that defeated death in us. Gives us the ability. That's Jesus. What the Holy Spirit's role is to give us the ability, his power to obey Christ. There isn't anything that he tells you to do that you cannot do. It might be a won't do, but it's not a cannot do. Wow. So your second wow is power over death. Say that with me. Power over death. Your first one is every spiritual blessing and power over death. Two wows so far. Three more to go. Wow. Ephesians 2:6. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ. Okay? He raised us up with Christ. That's a reference to when you come out of the baptismal waters, the water represents a grave. You died to yourself. Now Jesus is your master. You're following him. You come up out of that water, up out of that grave. Christ raised us up to new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. That's a wow. Ephesians 2:6. You are seated with Christ. Did I finish reading that? Verse 6. And Christ raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You are seated with Christ. This is a place of authority. When Jesus rose from the dead, and then in Acts chapter 1, arose from the earth back to heaven, he is seated next to his Father. The right hand of a king is a place of honor and authority. And now, in Ephesians 2:6, we are seated next to Jesus. Notice the past tense of the word seated. It's not something that we get when we die and go to heaven. It's something we have now. A place of honor and authority. Psalm 8:5 says that when God created us, he created us just a little lower than himself. Some versions will say the heavenly beings. Brothers and sisters, God created you just a little lower than himself. You're not God. I saw a t-shirt one time that said there's two truths in this world. There is a God and you ain't him. Okay, so God created us in his image, Genesis 1:26, and in Psalm 8:5, he made you just a little lower than himself. And he crowned you honor with honor and glory. Do you live that way? Do you think of yourself as a nobody or not good enough? Those are the lies of Satan himself. Place of authority. Why do we think we cannot do what Jesus' disciples did? Why do we think that? They were just people like you and me. The only difference between them and you and me is time period. That's the only difference. Jesus taught us to pray that what God says is a yes in heaven will also be, according to his plans, a yes on earth. And now he says to you and me, church, you are the conduit through which the yes in heaven becomes a yes on earth. Pray for people. You use authority in Christ. Oh, this is getting good. You use the authority in Christ seated in a place of authority and say, Satan, I'm going to be inviting Jim to Resurrection Sunday, and you have no authority to stop him. Did you hear it? You have no authority to stop Jim from coming to church. No authority. Now, what does he have? Deception. He will try to make you and Jim think it's too hard, not convenient enough, whatever it is. You tell Satan, back off. Jesus did. Peter, get behind me, Satan. You know? You speak with authority. You have that authority. He taught us to pray. What's yes in heaven is a yes on earth. We are assured that our resurrection from the dead is directly connected with Christ's resurrection from the dead. What does it mean? Well, it means that because we are secure in our relationship with Jesus, we can boldly approach God anytime and any place, push through our fears about obeying Christ. Do you have a fear about obeying Christ somewhere? I do. They hit me. Man, you know, sometimes it's like, you got to go talk to this person because you've had some friction. Take care of that quickly. Don't let that settle. Don't let differences between you put down roots of division. So you are seated in authority, brothers and sisters. This is a wow. That's our next one. Let's start at the top. Every spiritual blessing, power over death, seated in authority. Wow. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to our fourth wow, Ephesians 3:10. This is a great one too. Ephesians 3:10 says this. His intent, God's intent that is, was that now, today, through the church, you and me, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Oh, this is a great one. So God's plan all along was that we, his church, shall make God's wisdom known to spiritual beings, angels and demons, who watched God's plan unfold, beginning with Jesus' resurrection from the grave, and now witnesses the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Did you know that this is so good? Scripture says that the angels watch and they learn who God is and his plan by watching us, the church. They learn what God's plan is. See, the wisdom of God has been held, Paul says in Romans 3. It's been held secret until Christ came. And the secret is that salvation is now available to everyone. And the angels and the demons are watching. They're going, oh, everyone. The angels are going, everyone. And the demons are going, not everyone. Yes, everyone. You speak with authority. Yes, everyone. Including the people I love, my neighbors, my friends, my family. Wow, this is great. Okay, so we are to make his wisdom known. Let's start at the top. Every spiritual blessing, power over death, seated in authority, make his wisdom known. We're almost there. Number 5, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. I'm going to start in verse 10, just to give us a little bit of context here. Finally, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, his tactics, his plans. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Am I doing verse 13 too? Yes. Okay. And therefore, because of this reason, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. God's truth is your armor. Well, what kind of truth are we talking about? Belt of truth. Paul is using terms that the people he's writing to would understand. For a soldier, he has on his robe. That's what everybody wore. It's kind of a tunic, a robe. And the belt would hold the sword. It would hold his tunic. If he needed to go to war and not be tangled up in his legs, he would pull his robe up and tuck it into his belt so he could be free with his feet and his legs and not get tripped up by that. The belt of truth holds all other elements of truth close to you. The breastplate of righteousness. You are clean and deeply connected to God through Christ. That's the truth. Okay? Breastplate covers the heart, protects the heart. It's a place that's protecting the righteousness. Righteousness mainly means this: right relationship with God, a now reconciled relationship with God. Feet fitted with readiness, ready to tell others of your hope. Ready to go, feet, wherever you take me, I'm going to go there. Shield of faith. Christ has secured your salvation. When you obey, the Holy Spirit empowers you to live at an ever-increasing level of obedience. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit is helping you live at an ever-increasing level of obedience. Okay? If you've been obeying God today at the same level you were 3 years ago, that's not called growth. That's called stagnant. And stagnant loses its momentum and starts to go backwards. Growth. Push through the fear of things that scare you about obedience to God and discover, I've got power over death in me. I discover these things. Helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Helmet protects, helps you recognize Satan's lies. Okay, the helmet of salvation. I know I'm saved. Satan's going to come in with lies and say, no, you're not. He's going to say, look what you just did. You call yourself a Christian. You wear that helmet and say, I know I'm a Christian. See, a Christian doesn't mean I'm sinless, but it means I am working to sin less. And even though I'm not sinless, I'm still what percent saved? 100% saved. Yeah. Woohoo! That's a wow. Yeah, that's right. The sword of truth helps you then cut those lies to pieces. You know how Jesus did it? In Matthew 4, he came out of the desert after 40 days of fasting. Can you believe that? 40 days of fasting in the desert. That's not an idea of vacation. And he comes out of the desert, and Satan is there to tempt him in 3 different ways. And every time, Jesus answered him with what? Scripture. Here's the truth, you see? Truth. The sword. Here comes a lie. It's a guy thing. Okay. Stand your ground. All right. Let's say all five of these together now. Every spiritual blessing, power over death, I'm seated in authority, make his wisdom known, stand your ground. Are you feeling some wow here? This is wow, brothers and sisters. Yet Christians are buying Satan's lies. Satan's lies. Okay, I'm going to do this with you. All right. I'm dividing you guys in half. So right down through this middle. Okay, you guys are over here. And this other side, you guys are at the other side. So two sides, all right? This side, you read this, all right? This side, you read that, the blue. Okay, ready? Let's go. Every. Oops. Right. Did I get them all? Oh, one more. Do you hear it? Okay, we're going to switch sides. We're going to switch sides. All right, so you guys say the red words, all right? Here we go. We have the power of Christ living in us, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, and we're still saying this? Are we really? Brothers and sisters, today's a new day. Yes? Today's a new day. No more excuses. Obedience. Follow him. And you will experience a life you never knew. You'll do things you never thought you could do. No more excuses. Do we agree? Say yes.
Yes.
Now say, wow.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, today I want you to respond to God. I know you've been here sometimes. Some of you have been here longer than I have. Some of you have been Christians longer than I've been alive. Right, Gordon? I'm sorry. I love you. I believe in you. Let's stand together and let's respond to God. As we're singing this next song, you say to yourself, no more excuses. We are the people of God. Let's stand together and sing.